It has been 2 years since the Trade Galaxy was shaken to its core by the actions of a single, mismatched, multi-species crew. Whatever you think of the heroes of Yentau, also known as the Space Squad, one thing is certain. All eyes are watching for whatever they do next. Last time, in the Maelstrom Galaxy, with the not insignificant help of Shomu the Warrior, legendary long-dead hero of the Namazir and the God of War, you battled your way into the heart of the Pantheon, to a high tower overlooking a mysterious road known only as the Avenue That Never Ends. We pick up now as you finish licking your wounds and prepare to head out. The Pantheon awaits. What do you guys do next?
This is our home now. I don't want to leave.
Is the Avenue That Never Ends the cousin of the Boulevard of Broken Dreams?
No, the Boulevard of Broken Dreams comes off the Avenue That Never Ends.
Oh my god, guys.
It's like a side street. Anyway, I think we're all healed up because we used various things.
Yeah, did Corel get woken up?
No,
yes.
They're still unconscious.
Yes, Corel got woken up at some point.
We're still resting, right?
And we've had our short rest.
Okay, yeah. Well, wake me up when September ends, okay?
Oh my god.
Fair. I mean, just when Corel wakes up, oh, did we win?
Yes, we did.
Good.
Sit there a while, listen to Schlurp's Song of Rest.
Schlurp is playing music, but it's like, very melancholy.
We're all healed up. Mm-hmm. We're ready to venture out into the avenues, right? So we're trying to get to the staircase, and Shomu, do you know what would be the quickest way to get there from here?
Shomu kind of rolls one shoulder and says, I am not an expert in the exact location of the staircase. It is a strange realm, but it is still a realm, just as this stronghold is my realm, and the Broker's Vault was Kavoros' realm.
So, Lorelei, if we set out on the avenues, if you follow where you feel we should be going, we could probably trust that, given that you resonate with the god whose realm it is we're looking for.
I kind of get what you're saying. You're essentially using me as a dowsing rod to work out where we're going.
A cute little dowsing rod.
I am cute. Yeah, I guess good a plan as any.
Right. Well, I'm ready to set out then.
Shomu nods and says, I expect you will already know this and be aware of the dangers, but the avenue used to be a patchwork realm for each of us, but has been dominated by Pyrrhos for long eons now. It is a dangerous place. Stay out of the light and watch for enemies. If the worst happens, and he shakes his head and just goes, well, let's hope it doesn't come to that, but if it does, I will do what I can. This is very dangerous. But with the six of us together, I think we can do it. He crouches a little bit like he's entering a huddle and then just goes, the sharpest amongst you should take point. Does anyone have anything that can help with stealth?
Yes, I can re-up Pass Without Trace on all of us.
Who can we trust to bring up the rear?
Would Bugsy be a good idea just because he big?
I mean, it might be an idea to have the most perceptive of us at the front and the back. So I was going to go at the front, but then what's your perception bonus, Faraday?
Plus 10.
So I think maybe Faraday at the back with you and Bugsy, me and Shomu at the front, and then Crick and Corral in the middle. And Bruno, I guess.
And Bruno's also here.
Put the poor man back in the bell, Shona.
Bruno, would you like to go back in the bell for the time being? We just had a experience.
Oh.
That's a yes. Put him back in the bell.
Okay, you go back in the bell. I'll get you back out if it seems necessary. Won't be a fight next time, I promise.
You hold a hand out towards him and his form kind of turns into glowing light and starts to melt. And as he kind of warps back into being a bell, you just hear him go, wait, like he's about to say, wait. And then he's just a bell again in your hand. Lining up, you creep out of the room. The entire tower is quiet as a grave, just as the avenue is outside from the glimpses you get of it as Shomu and Lorelei lead you slowly downwards. Lorelei, can I take a perception check, please?
34.
Okay, with that roll, I'm going to say that you're able to kind of perceive any danger well ahead of time. So, Lorelei, a few times you see a flicker of yellow light in the distance or warm fire or smell smoke, and every single time you flag up Shomu and he immediately leads you through secret passageways, behind tapestries, through bookshelves that open up into double doors, down snaking staircases that you hadn't known were there, until eventually you find yourselves faced with a battered-looking door. It's kind of standing ajar, and through it, you can see creeping tongues of swirling mist rolling in to lap at the flagstones of the building around you. What do you do?
Lorelei's going to walk up and press her ear against it.
Okay, I'll take a perception check again.
34.
Okay, Faraday, can I take a perception check because you're bringing up the rear, aren't you?
21.
Okay, 21. Faraday, as Lorelei goes and presses herself against the door, you hear a distant clumping slowly begin to get louder. Lorelei, you press your ear up against the door, you hear only this soft, mournful sigh of the wind.
We should go.
Yeah, I can't hear anything out there. I cast Pass Without Trace again and stick to the shadows.
The door, as you begin to kind of open it, immediately makes like a shrill noise. Hey Faraday, that clumping starts to get faster and louder.
Go, 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 go.
We go in.
I guess we hustle.
Yeah, we
hustle,
go.
Hustle, hustle.
You yank the door open the rest of the way and it makes an even shriller noise. And just like that, you have your first full sight of the avenue. Lorelei, you rolled a 34. With that, I'm going to carry that 34 always because you literally just checked the door. So I'm going to carry that. With that 34, which is a stupendous roll, you find yourself standing in a doorway of bright, pale grey light. There's like an insubstantial floor of swirling mist ahead that stretches out ahead of you and snakes to your left and right out of sight. The mist kind of falls in a pattern that sort of forms flagstones, like the echo of fat flagstones, but made out of like fog and cloud. And all the way along this avenue, as you lean out and look up and look down, you can see the shadowy silhouettes of wildly disparate buildings. They all look blurry and foggy to you, like you can't make out details, but it's just unending. It really is the avenue that never ends. And as you see that, you are free to step outside onto it.
I step out and motion for everyone to follow me. And I guess, is there like gaps between the buildings or are they flush against each other?
There are gaps.
So I guess I get us into a gap between two buildings and I'm like, which way do we go?
I suppose we're rather relying on you to tell us that, Lorelei. Which way do you feel?
Yep, the plan was to follow you.
Do you see any stairs?
I don't think we're going to see those just yet.
Sure. I think that might... May as well suggest it. Just look for stairs. Even though everything's really blurry here, why is it so blurry?
I guess I'm just going to put my hands out like a cartoon mummy and see if I vibe.
So you're holding your marked hands out to try and see if they illuminate the way they did in the Deep Palace.
Yes.
Okay.
Like a dowsing rod.
Like a dowsing rod. I will say though, Faraday was hearing a clumping. So as you're kind of huddled in the swirling fog just between two buildings, if you're still nearish the Shomu stronghold, you see that door you came out of open and a towering scarlet Pyrrhic vanguard bends through it and then like looks up and down the avenue for a long second. Can I take a group stealth check? 20 and above?
20, not natural.
Dirty 20.
Schlurp got a 26. This is with the plus 10, right?
Yeah.
Schlurp got a 26 and Bugsy got a 32.
Okay, 15 to 20?
17.
19.
Okay, fantastic rolls all round. The Pyrrhic Vanguard peers up and down and even comes out and prowls along the avenue for a few hundred yards, looking between the buildings. But the lot of you crouch down, like squat down into the fog, and there's this awful moment where its burning eyes rake past where you're hidden. Like you can see the glow of it vaguely through the mist, and then it stumps away and returns to the stronghold and shuts the door behind it.
Oh my god.
Okay, do I get a ping on my hand? my hand radars.
Ding, ding, ding.
A ping on your hand radars. You know what? Could you roll me? What's your spell modifier, Lorelei?
Wisdom,
Could you just roll me wisdom?
Okay, that's...
Plus five?
Plus five. 19.
Okay. You rise up out of the mist again and hold your hands out ahead of you and just kind of slowly rotate, trying to sense anything like the way you did in the Deep Palace. You do not feel that cold hook the way you did then. There isn't a burning light. There isn't a burning feeling. There isn't any kind of yank. If anything, you feel this kind of muddle. There is indeed a vibe of your power here, but it's kind of coming from everywhere. But with a 19, I will say that I think you do get a faint flicker on your right hand for just a moment.
Oop. And then move my arm around and back into place, and I'm like, follow me and stay alert.
And Shimu nods and says, what the little one said. You slowly proceed through the avenue following Lorelei, and Lorelei following that very faint flicker of light that comes up maybe once every minute. And so you're slowly, slowly edging along, following that flicker until, Lorelei, the flicker of your hand, you suddenly feel a flush of warmth. And you do finally feel that hook sensation, that tug, but it's pulling you to turn sideways to look at a building that is just fog for you. It's just swirling fog.
I lift my hand up and just sort of gesture it around at everyone, and I'm like, here, does anyone see anything?
Yeah, who does see anything?
Fog.
Oh no, Paige's looking at me. Oh no.
Schlurp.
Yeah.
Everyone else sees rolling fog and the suggestion of a building. You see a building.
Sick.
Wow, thank you so much.
Exactly. You haven't said what the building looks like yet.
Can I take a perception check, please, darling?
Cool. Oh, Paige.
What did you roll, darling?
I happened to roll a nat 20.
Oh my god, okay. Oh,
have fun, Paige. I give you... The dice have given us this gift.
With a natural 20... You see a set of swooping wooden steps. Each one seems almost to be like a raw beam of oak. The banister is made from beaten metal that looks kind of handmade. It's all irregular and dented and utterly charming. At the top of these steps is a huge pair of black iron banded wooden doors. And hanging above the doors, blazing, like a small star, is a bright green ring.
Sick.
Shona's nervous giggle.
No.
I'm in danger.
Maybe. I think Shlub does walk towards it and they kind of try to put their hand on the banister just to check it's solid, I guess.
You put your hand on the banister, Shlub, and as you do, your vision doubles for a second.
Ah.
And for just that split second, it's like you're seeing that doorway from a different angle, a much lower down angle. And your hand, you're reaching up to the banister instead of down. And then you're seeing it just as you were a second ago again.
I think it does make them flinch away a bit, but they put their hand back and just start trying to ascend, I suppose.
What does it look like to the rest of us?
Is Schlurp fully, like, bleach anime walking into the air?
They are for the first couple of steps, but as they carry on, the building paints itself around them, revealing itself to the rest of you until you too can see the steps and the door and the gold, the green ring shining above it.
Shona is correct. That is sick.
Yeah, pretty sick.
Schlurp, do you want us to come with you?
Unless you want to stay out here.
I mean, not really,
it's a good
but...
point, yeah, it's a good point. Faraday, what do you think?
Yeah, I think we don't know if we're going to get the chance to come back here. It's here for you for a reason.
Yeah, also, just being inside seems like a good idea at the moment, given all that.
Oh, and maybe they won't be able to see it.
Maybe.
That's a very good maybe. Point.
Okay, yeah, so I keep ascending the stairs to the... I assume there's a door there.
There is a door. It has polished brass handles.
I grab the handle and I try to open the door.
It opens before you can lay your hand on the handle.
Oh, shit.
It swings open. Both doors do. And then they clang off an interior wall with like a deep gonging sound. And you're left looking down a wooden hallway with paneled walls.
Quick perception check.
Yeah, go ahead.
22.
With a 22, and also that previous nat 20, really, you hesitantly peer down that corridor, and at its end, you're able to perceive that it opens up into a great hall. And in that hall, you can make out hearths, cold and dark, and squashy chairs, and low tables, and a wooden floor that is arranged in a checkerboard pattern. And at the far end of that hall, you can see some kind of large structure, kind of like a bandstand. And what was it, a 22?
Yeah.
With a 22, as you kind of lean gently, hesitantly through that doorway, you hear the faintest piping of some kind of woodwind instrument.
I make my way down the corridor. I guess I beckon everyone else to come.
We follow.
As you follow, it's like being enclosed in a tomb. You enter and it's kind of like submerging in a pond or a pool of water. Like for a second, your ears have this roaring noise and then you feel warmer and less hollow and afraid than you were before. Like this whole place seems to exude, even cold and dark as it is, it exudes this aura of homeliness and safety. Like walking down this corridor following Schlurp, you feel oddly at home here, like you would doing something familiar or nostalgic or much loved. As you kind of lead the rest of them down that corridor towards the hall, that faint piping resolves into the clear high soaring notes of a flute.
I think as we're walking down, I'm gonna get the bell back out and I'm gonna resummon Bruno.
You ring the bell and Bruno forms out of white light and then drops at your side. And then immediately looks around, spins around, hands up and is like, "We are in the halls of music. Oh, it is beautiful."
Yeah, it really is.
I thought you ought to see it. I think this is where you belong.
I do not know. Belonging is such a personal thing.
Don't I know it.
He kind of stills and then looks down towards the hallway and to where that music is coming from. And then gently his hand rises up to rest on your wrist. And he says,
That is a flute.
Yeah, it is.
Do you want to go alone? I can hold the others back.
I'll go scout it out. Just make sure it's all good, you know, places of danger and all that. This is me being brave.
Bruno nods and then just goes, "I will order the others back for you." Schlurp.
I'm so noble.
Do you head on?
Schlurp getting ready to be gay in private.
Yeah, Shlurp continues on.
Cool. Bruno, kind of, I can't describe it as anything other than scamper. He scampers up to the rest of you and then stands in the middle of the corridor and throws both arms out and says in a stage whisper that Shlurp can totally hear, "You must stop in the name of love."
What?
Shlurp hears that and is mortified.
I beg your pardon?
There's a flute here. And then Shlurp, the rest of what Bruno says, it just dissolves into nothingness as you approach the far side of the hall. It is just as you've seen it in your dreams and visions. The ceiling soars away and just turns into swirling starlight. It's a beautiful, beautiful, abandoned place. And as you head forwards, that bandstand draws ever nearer. There's no one sat on it, but you can still hear the music. What do you do?
I guess I'd like look around the hall to see if, I don't know, there's a balcony or anything that could have someone on it or something.
I'm going to carry that previous check forwards. There's no, like, you can see doors that, like, closed doors, but you can't see any kind of window here. There's no windows and there doesn't seem to be, like, any stairs. So there's no sign of a balcony that you can make out from this immediate hall area.
Can I reach out with, like, my pick ability to try and feel emotional states? Because I think that's got, like, a range of, like, 100 feet or something on it, doesn't it?
That's a great idea. Yes, you can do that.
So I kind of reach out. I know, like, the, I suppose, fingerprints of my friends, but I'll see if I can notice anything else.
Oh, Shona, Shlurp, the second you reach up to your pick to, like, hold it, you are swallowed in a bear trap of sorrow.
Oh no.
And despair.
Oh Christ.
And grief. Grief so keen it's like a blade.
They're gonna make some double over, like, big grief.
Yeah, it's physically painful. As you're feeling it, you can feel that it's coming from under the bandstand. Someone's hiding there.
I go and see if I can check under there.
Okay, could you roll me investigation?
This is when I roll bad.
No.
9.
Shlurp, you bend and go to look underneath the bandstand and you find a dark set of passages, like little pockets, stuck through with the poles supporting the seating above. There is a lot of crap down here. There's like musical instrument cases, there's boxes of books, there's like spare chairs. It's a bit of a disaster zone, and through all that detritus you can't quite make out where the music is coming from, but you can tell that it's coming from somewhere in that mess. Oh, could you roll me a stealth check? Actually, no, roll me a dexterity check as you kind of bend to look under here. Dexterity save. Okay. Even
dexterity save.
A dexterity save, please.
Oh no, fuck you, dice. I rolled nat 1.
Oh.
Amazing.
Fuck me.
Shlurp, you bend and kind of poke your, like, upper torso under the bandstand to look around. You immediately knock into a series of tall metal lamps that have been stuffed under here by someone. They fall, make a huge crash, fall onto a chair, which falls over and makes another crash, which knocks over a stack of musical instruments, which open and upend themselves onto a tall stack of boxes of books, which fall, and all the books come flying out until you're kind of on your knees in this swirling storm of falling things, like, ah! The sound is unbelievable. Everyone in the entryway can hear this, like, a series of just crashing, rattling messes.
Why does that happen to me?
Who else would it happen to?
Benny Hill theme starts playing.
I have decent decks!
Shlurp, do you say, why does this happen to me, out loud?
I think I do.
Yeah, as you do, that flute music stops. And then there's like a puff of cold air, like someone breathing out in December. And then a frigid little hand is closing on your wrist and pulling you back out of the bandstand.
I follow it.
I think you know who the hand belongs to.
Yeah, I think I take my hand away and I just envelop them in a big old hug.
And Jiahu, for it is Jiahu, hugs you tightly back with her feet dangling off the floor. She doesn't let go.
Neither do I. I think it's a few minutes before I say anything. It's just a lot of processing going on.
I thought I'd lost you.
You did, a bit. It's been a while.
It really has.
I don't actually know how long it was for you.
It was a few months.
Oh, that's not too bad.
It wasn't so great to live through it. Sorry, that sounds bad. Just, I thought there'd be more texting involved.
This place doesn't have, good signal.
I gathered.
Something about the big fire demon god will do that to you.
Yeah, this can't be good for any kind of signal.
No signal.
And finally, she kind of wriggles so that you put her down. Schlepp, she looks different to how you last saw her. She looks like she did one time in New Annalou, where for a second she showed you what she truly is. Her fur is stuck through with feathers and swirls in a breeze that isn't there. Her eyes are glowing bright green, just like the ring over her left eye. And she's kind of almost floating where she stands.
You've got a new look.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Oh, thank you. Schlepp?
Yeah?
I found out how to free myself.
Oh, that's great!
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But, why are you here?
Trying to figure out this whole end of the universe thing. Things led to another, and then we met Show Me the Warrior.
You met...
Yeah, there he is over there.
She falls to her knees and then immediately flattens herself into a bow.
I didn't think anyone was left. Is there anyone else?
Well, Romet's also here.
Oh, Romet. Mercy. Of course. Of course.
And she gets back to her feet and she says,
I'm afraid you're not really going to find anything here.
I found you.
She kind of seems to shrink at that.
Yeah, you did. But you probably need to carry on with finding out what you're trying to find out.
Well, yeah, but do you want to come with? It's probably better than just being by yourself in a big room. It's a lovely room, but not a lot to be able to talk to. And I really miss talking to you.
Schlepp, can you roll me perception?
Are you fucking kidding me? I got a nat 1 again.
Oh. That's perfect.
Oh, Jesus no.
Christ. Thank you for this gift.
No!
It's too late, Sherlock. The dice don't lie.
Fuck you, dice.
Schlepp, as you go to, turn away from her and lead her back to the others, she, just for a second out the corner of your eye, you swear you see her mouth move, but you cannot make out what it is, what she says. The rest of you are in a hallway watching Schlepp approach with Jiahu. What do you do?
I give a big thumbs up.
I return the thumbs up. I'm confused, but yeah? Thumbs up?
Seeing that Jiahu looks different, does Bruno look different as well?
Yeah, Bruno's also strung through with feathers and is glowing and kind of wafting.
Does Schlepp look different?
No.
Whilst Lorelei does not enjoy being in proximity to Bruno, her curiosity gets the best of her and she just sort of goes over and fans at him to see if he'll waft away. You said he was kind of wafty.
He looks down at your wafting hand and then an awful smile curls his mouth and he just goes, why, yes, I am hot.
No.
Glad you agree.
No.
You invited this. And Jiahu and Schlepp arrive and Jiahu immediately just goes, well, he hasn't changed then. Bruno, shut up.
Jiahu, I have missed you.
She offers you a little fist bump.
Bam. Lorelei can't give the thumbs up. This comes up too often.
It's welcome to my world.
Jess Bingo is Lorelei can't give a thumbs up. And Shona Bingo is Schlepp can't breathe. Shomu crouches in front of Jiahu and then kind of ruffles her tiny head with one of his enormous forehands and then just goes,
It is very good to see you, little one. I am sorry that you have been alone all this time. I know how much you must miss him. And Jiahu kind of stiffens.
Him?
Oh, just... I had a long life before I met you. And there were people in it that I don't like to think about anymore.
Well, you don't have to think about them just now if you don't want to. Have you seen the staircase? We may as well ask her.
The staircase? You mean Teresial and...
Lorelei just puts her hands up, like, and gestures towards Jiahu.
Oh, you haven't seen her since you got the marks. That's very true. She takes two steps back from you and her hands fly up to cover her mouth and she says,
"Oh, Lorelei, I'm so sorry."
What?
Wait, sorry, what?
Well, that power is an awful burden.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Lord Teresia, the god of pathways, acolyte of the god of space and time.
There's another god?
Have we heard of the god of space and time before?
I don't think so. Because no. Shomu now looks a little bit scandalized between all of you and just goes,
"Yes, the god of space and time, one of the two archgods of the universe. Without whom there wouldn't be a universe."
Wait, archgod? There's levels of gods?
Yeah, Golad's the other one. The god of life and death. He said without him there would be no universe.
What?
Oh, that was when I was out for 2 days. Yeah,
This is like really pertinent information, gang.
I know, but I woke up and we're in the middle of a refugee crisis and a lot has happened.
Oh my god.
That's fair, but... Oh, goodness.
Faraday, where is your mark?
On my right wrist.
On the inside or outside?
Inside.
Jiahu grabs your wrist forcibly and flips your hand over and, like, drags the mark down so she can look at it. And she goes,
"This is new. You're a new one."
She looks up at you and she says, "You said you saw the God of Life and Death?"
"Yes. Have been for a few years."
And Shomu puts a hand on the shoulder of your opposite side and like looks down at Jiahu and says, "She is a new acolyte, like Teresial."
Assume we know nothing. God hierarchy.
Yes.
Archgods, then all of us? But then the Fireman. The Fireman, Pyrrhos is more?
The elemental gods.
Yeah. So is that all? Two arch... Four elements, I'm guessing, and then the rest of us?
It runs the archgods, who created it all, the elementals, who protect them, the pantheonic gods, who embody qualities and ideas and concepts, and then the spirits.
But the elementals protect the archgods.
If they died, everything would end.
One of them kind of fucked up.
What happened with Pyrrhos, I don't know. He used to be kind.
When we've fought the Pyrrhic Vanguard, they're not really alive anymore?
They were alive, though. They were more like Jiahu. Like, I think you said that before, didn't you?
Puppets. They became puppets.
Yes.
I guess that's kind of what we're here for. Working out why Pyrrhos is the way he is.
And seeing what we can do to stop him from ending the universe.
And that's why you need the staircase. Because you want to find out what happened to him. I understand. Lorelei, if you really are resonating with Teresial's power, you're the only one who can find the staircase.
Yeah, that's what we've been doing. And I, like, put my right hand out and spin.
Yeah, she's a cute little dowsing rod.
Well, she might need to douse faster. Has any fire seen you? Have you been in the light?
I mean, we've fought 3 Pyrrhic Vanguard and...
Oh, gods! Well, he definitely knows you're here.
I mean, we're not quiet.
We're never quiet.
But you don't understand. Pyrrhos isn't like anything you've fought before. He's an elemental god. A fully ascended elemental god. You aren't ready.
Then I guess we better get going.
Yeah, so let's go. Let's go.
I'd like to do an insight check on Jiahu. All right, it's 21.
With a 21, Corel, Jiahu is definitely holding something back. But it seems to be something about Schlurp.
Do I get the sense it's something important or something personal?
Both. As you go to leave the building, are you in the same order as before?
Probably. Jiahu will be with me.
Schlurp, Jiahu lingers in the doorway for the longest time, looking back down that corridor. It's like she doesn't want to leave.
I'm sure we'll get a chance to come back here, take a little visit once this is all done.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Lorelei, as you lead them further along the avenue, Jiahu slips away from Schlurp and comes to walk up beside you and peers curiously at your outflung hands and then just says,
so if you're following Teresial, how did you end up at the Hall of Music?
I don't know. It's just I felt a pull and it was just undulating fog and the only one who could see anything in it was Schlurp.
Maybe it's like pulling you to places where he's been a lot. It's the only thing I can think of. He used to visit Alayula frequently before.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. I'm kind of out of my depth here, I'm not gonna lie. I'm using my hand to ping off godly resonance.
Oh, speaking of, ping, ping!
And true to her word, your hand is flashing.
Is it another patch of just fog?
Yeah, there's no building this time.
Everyone, circle up. We have another ping.
Oh, sick, more fog. God damn it.
Thank you, Schlurp. Does anyone actually see anything in the fog?
Crick.
Yay.
You see a twisting maze of low rocky outcrops and boulders forming a rocky canyon that snakes out of sight.
What? Okay, gang. This one's for me. I see a canyon. So I'm going to go into it. I guess follow me.
There's a flight of stairs zigzagging down.
Yeah, flight of stairs, go down it.
Yeah, you descend some 40 meters. It's a long way. The walls of the canyon are made from beautifully banded, like yellow and brown and red stones. And as you descend, it's almost like, even with the grey swirling mist high above you, you can almost fool yourself into thinking you're on a planet somewhere, rather than in this surreal, dreamlike world of death and gods.
Was the original God of Truth from Arizona?
No.
Sorry.
But she was from Earth.
Oh.
Because, Crick, as you descend, you look up at the walls and suddenly they're moving. Paintings done in, like, natural pigments and done in these beautiful, bold, rough lines are, like, leaping along the walls around you. You can see things that look like buffalo and antelope just leaping along the walls, following you as you descend. Like, some toss their heads at you.
Do they remind me of anything from history?
Cave paintings. They look like cave paintings, ancient cave paintings. They also look exactly like the images on the back of the shell of your mirror.
I keep going further in.
You reach the bottom of this canyon and the walls are alive, like I said, and it is utterly captivating and distracting. And you find yourself wandering these twisting passageways. And quickly you realize you don't know where you are. You're just in this maze of stone, surrounded by these moving paintings that are kind of following you. And as you move, you're collecting this building crowd that are all like looking out at you with their flat painted eyes, curious about what you're doing. Until you come to a cliff edge. It drops into a gully 20 feet below you. And the gully kind of opens out into a huge, flat, circular area, the floor of which is painted with a mark, a circle with a solid circle inside it, with intersecting lines running through. It looks kind of like an eye, a stylized eye. And you don't have a mark like the rest, but that is the mark that is on the underside, on the other side of your mirror.
Maybe a long shot, but I use the mirror to look at the pattern on the ground.
In the tiny reflection, Crick, there is no eye. Instead, you see a perfectly circular pool of water. And in that pool of water, you can see tangled waves and wakes and swirling patterns, all made up of images and pigment and ink, forming shapes and words and then melting away constantly.
What happens if I, like, move my hand and think about drawing something else on the floor?
What do you think about?
The KJ.
You think about the KJ, and the painted lines of the eye melt into a single puddle, and then they dart out, sketching the diamond-shaped outline of the KJ. And then a little cloud puffs out the tail of the KJ, and the ship is, like, animated, flying. And then suddenly you're zooming in and you can see the five of you. You can see the space squad curled up on the couches in the living room beneath the bridge. And Dana is there and Lina is there and there's food and warm light. And suddenly the paint is dripping again, forming a word, and it just says home.
Okay.
The image zooms in further on you. Sat between your loved ones on that couch until you can see your own grey face. And then suddenly that image of you is splitting into two. And then three. And then four and five until there are five Cricks. And then suddenly the images start to change. One Crick gets a long beard and has shadowed under eyes. And his mouth forms a sorrowful downwards crook. And his image zooms out and he is alone standing in front of a dozen gravestones. And there is no one with him. Another Crick disappears. And then you see a tombstone that gives your date of death as being in the past, on the day you lost your ship. Another Crick is holding hands with Dana. And you have two tiny fawnlings, one on each shoulder, and you look happy. And the image is really weird because she's tiny, but you look really happy. But you also are looking up at the stars and look a bit trapped, if that makes sense. A bit restless. Another Crick doesn't change. This one is still on the KJ, except then everyone else is leaving. And it's just you. And then Faraday and Junie take the KJ and it's just you. And you go back to smuggling with Lina. And it's just you two until you're too old to do it anymore. And then it's just you and your friends visit you in a little apartment in New Analu. But you are otherwise alone. The final Crick grows a hilariously, profoundly bushy beard and some sideburns. And he gets these really funky tortoiseshell glasses. And when that image zooms out, he's holding a laser pointer and is standing in a lecture hall. And he has a fucking desk. And it has a little name plaque on it saying Dr. Mitchell Crick rather than Captain. And you're just kind of looking down, seeing all these potential yous. The ways your life could have turned out or might still. That's the deep sucking vortex of what truth is.
Wave my hand and try and move the images away.
They wipe away in an instant.
I turned to my friends and I was like, I don't know what you guys have seen of what I'm looking at here. I'm not sure what to make of all this. You guys have so much more connection to your gods, and I don't really know what to do with this power.
Why don't you ask your god what their name is?
Not a bad start.
What's your name?
The lines shift and dance into a thousand different alphabets, and in the center What's your first mother tongue would have been English, right? Because you're from Cornwall.
Yes.
Yeah, you're in the center, in the largest letters in English, you see A-D-E.
Ade, are you from Earth?
Yes.
Are you the being I've seen in my dreams?
Yes.
What are you trying to tell me? I know you've been trying to show me what could happen if we fail. I get it that things are going to be terrible if we fail. I just don't know why I need to be shown it over and over again. Could I change what I dream of now?
That depends on what you do in the next few days of your life.
So is this my power then to see what could happen? To see what is happening? I mean, that's what this mirror does, right? It shows me the true situation. It shows me that this these patterns beneath me aren't solid. They showed me that I could move them.
It shows you potential.
Why did you choose me?
You were never chosen. None of you were. You make your own way in life. If you embody anything, it's through your own work, through your own qualities. You owe none of us anything. If you embody truth, then it's because you believe in whatever truth means to you.
You, the first storyteller?
I was.
Well, that's certainly a very valuable form of truth in my book. I know you're only an echo, but can you tell me anything about the dance? About what caused all of this to die and burn away?
The ink reforms into just four letters. Fear.
Hey listeners, Paige here. Thanks as always for choosing to spend your limited time with us. I'm just popping in to let you know that we're moving to a permanent 3-weekly schedule from now on. We're sorry for the change, but with all of us working full-time, we believe this is what's best for us and for the podcast. As always, I'd like to take a second to highlight our cast. That's my wife, Leonie, as Faraday, Elle as Mitchell Crick, Shona as Schlurp, Jess as Lorelei, and Duncan as Carell. We'll be back in 3 weeks with our next episode. See you then in the Maelstrom Galaxy.